Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert.
Not a doctor.
Not a doctor, but a new father.
Not yet, but well, I bet by now.
By now, when the show airs, you'll be a dad. So how do you feel about being a dad?
It's good. By now, the kid's probably mowing my lawn, so it's awesome.
You're totally exhausted at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sleep deprived, I'm sure. I'm mental. I'm
all that jazz. And Kenna's babysitting. Mm-hmm. And Jax is calling me Aunt Kiki. We got Hottie Patati Will Schmidt coming from the Bay Area. What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
Will's also not a doctor.
Will's not a doctor. But awesome. It may be in 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just dive right in soon. But yeah, first, liked us on Facebook.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You better like us. Yeah, go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our show topics. You guys can post any questions, or you can pitch a show you want us to cover, and we'll do that.
And sometimes on that page, we'll post nonsense.
Or you can email Tony at... give out his personal email.
Right. Swing by his house at...
Yeah, call him on his phone at... Okay, so Helen, greetings. I've found your books very interesting and helpful.
Well, thank you, Helen.
I wonder if she's from Troy.
Troy?
Helen of Troy.
I doubt it. I think you might have made that part up.
I would like to know if you have come across reasons for an overproduction of bile. A friend's daughter has severe issues, stomach pain, trouble keeping food down, etc. With this, which have been diagnosed recently, but the doctors can't figure out what would cause an overproduction of bile. Should they be looking more at too little acid production, or are there things that could cause an overproduction of bile? Good question, Helen. I don't think we've ever gotten that one, have we?
We never have got that question, but I do like how she kind of came up to her own thing a little bit.
That it might be something else.
That it could be something else, and that, hey, why don't we think about other things instead of saying, you throw up because your body makes too much bile.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there could be reasons that a person might have too much bile going on, and we're going to talk about some of those possibilities, but if someone is having major stomach discomfort and they're throwing up, think about where that problem would take place. Usually when a person throws up, they throw up the contents of their stomach. They don't throw up all the contents of their whole small and large intestinal tract, right, Wolfgang Schmidt?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that normally, like, modern doctors will confuse acid reflux with ideas that they have too much acid, which is dumb, but it's just dumb. But I was in hearing this question, which I hadn't heard before, I was looking it up, and it looks like the Mayo Clinic or whatever thinks that bile reflux can actually occur, but it's very different and distinct from what is normally occurring, which is acid reflux, which comes from not enough stomach acid, which is a totally different thing than bile reflux.
But now they can create a new medication, though, for bile reflux.
Yeah, right.
But there's $1 billion.
But if you look at mechanically, let's say, for instance, that bile reflux was occurring, which, you know, is not beyond the realm of possibility when you think, like, could that ever happen? And it, like, they say, like, all right, well, bile would have to get so congested that it would then back, like, up. Like, if instead of just, like, flowing out through the duodenum and the intestinal tract, like, maybe there's some issue with the lower sphincter of the stomach that doesn't seal right, and the contents of the duodenum can kind of drift back up into the stomach. Like, that, I mean, I could see that possibly.
Right.
Happening.
That door would have to be really wide open because, you know, we know that the bile comes into the duodenum, which is just outside of the exit of the stomach. So for bile to make it back up into the stomach, that bottom sphincter's got to be like, hey, I'm going to stay open all the time.
Which, you know, it's possible it could have, like, say someone gets, like, a gastric reduction surgery, or there's some sort of trauma or chemical imbalance that's causing the valves of the stomach to malfunction. Then, yeah, I could see how, like, stuff wouldn't stay where it should, and like the contents of the duodenum could drift back into the stomach and create reflux of bile. That's possible, but it's so then you got to start asking, like, all right, well, what is it really too much bile? Because I wouldn't think, like, if that's the phrasing, like, it's from too much production of bile, that alone I do not think would cause this issue. I would think more like trauma or some crazy imbalance that's affecting the valves of the stomach, because just more bile, like if things were working well, bile still wouldn't do that. There'd still have to be like some crazy issue to the lower sphincter of the stomach for it to ever have a chance to go back into the stomach.
Right. So whatever amount of bile is produced, it's still stored in the gallbladder until the body is ready to use it. And then it's going to squirt some down into the duodenum and it'll hit the acid product leaving the stomach. So, you know, maybe a gallbladder could be an over squirter. You know, maybe it squirts too much bile and that could be a problem. But let's get to the reality of what even Helen feels is probably the situation. And that is, we have talked before about how, here's the thing. We haven't talked about Kenna's diarrhea in a long time.
Oh, Lord.
So let's talk about Kenna's butt soup episodes that went on.
For a while.
So we
now
know
I have perfect poop.
Right, she's a champion of poop. Mm-hmm. She often posts it on Facebook. So
pictures.
If you're not following her, actor page, you should do that.
Poop of the day,
Kenna McEnroe. But what happens with a loose stool is it's almost always a case of too much, not enough bile neutralizing the acid that comes from the stomach. And then it all shoots through the intestinal tract too fast. So that's almost always the case. So that's the first thing we try to help people do is help them improve their bile flow so that it can neutralize the acid. And then the stool is the right pH to flow through the system nicely. So we tried that with Kenna, and the diarrhea she had just got worse and worse. It was amazing diarrhea.
Yeah, it was awesome. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it.
Okay, good. So then what we realize is, sometimes a stool can be too loose because there's not enough acid to mix with that bile, and the bile is very alkaline, so the alkaline substance can be just as irritating, and that was causing her
diarrhea. You were mentioning the gallbladder, but I remember when I was trying to do the ketosis diet, and I was eating a lot more fats, and I was getting sick and nauseous and all that. And it was, I did a whole bunch of like the beet flow and the enema and all that stuff. And it was just, too much. Maybe she can't handle fat. Something's going on with her bile and it makes her nauseous and she throws up.
Well, that could be a thing, but let's come back to that. Don't let me forget that part. But in any case, if a person is not making enough stomach acid, but the bile is flowing properly, then the food product that leaves the stomach is not going to be acidic. It could still just be kind of alkaline and kind of rotting and fermenting. So then the bile comes down on there. Usually the alkalinity of that bile is kind of neutralized by the acid leaving the stomach. So now if there's no acid, the alkalinity doesn't really get neutralized. It's the two things meeting that makes everything happy. So now she probably has a lot of unneutralized alkaline bile moving through the system. So doctors could be taking samples and like, oh man, there's all this bile. You must be making too much bile. Instead of looking at the realization that the bile has just not been neutralized by the acidic stuff, both of those things need to neutralize themselves. Do you want to hit on that for a second, Will, before we
hit
move on?
It.
Before we move
yeah,
on to the
I mean,
throwing up stuff?
Just like as you described all that, like if anyone was like kind of following in like a little mental visual image, you would see like, all right, if that bile isn't getting neutralized, or if in like the freak case they were just making a ton of bile, it still wouldn't go into the stomach. It would just like be more bile progressing through the intestinal tract that maybe would cause like alkaline burns or loose stools because of a pH imbalance from the relatively large amount of bile compared to acid causing an alkaline pH imbalance. But it wouldn't cause it to go up into like the esophagus or the stomach. It would just be more coming out the back door.
Right. And so if someone's having discomfort and they're throwing up in their stomach a lot, like, Kenna was just saying, it's almost always, and definitely not always, because a lack of bile certainly can contribute to nausea just by the toxicity that will accumulate in the body since the filth can't be removed through the bile. But usually if somebody's eating something and they're throwing up a lot, they don't have enough stomach acid to break that food down correctly. And then what happens to the food as it rots and ferments?
Yeah, I honestly don't understand how so many, like, doctors are smart. Like, to get into, like, medical school and pass through, like, you have to be really smart to do that. And I don't understand why so many of them would not, and maybe it's just because they're following protocol and don't want to get in trouble, but, like, why would they not understand that the stomach needs to be more acidic to get rid of that problem? I don't understand why it would be so commonly prescribing PPIs or, like, antacids.
In your classes and stuff, do you call out your teachers and do you say, hey,
I know that's going to happen.
I bite my tongue a good bit.
Why don't you, like, start the discussion and then, you know, you'll be like the Pied Piper of the medical world. People will start following you. Yeah, what he said.
Let's do what that guy with an F said.
Yeah.
Let's do what the guy that failed the class.
Yeah. You need to get A's. It's helpful to, like, hear all, like, the perspectives, though. And it also really helps, like, refine the understanding that we have in seeing, like, okay, this is the science that they are taught that leads them to these conclusions. But, like, from practice and from reading the other, like, health science geniuses that have discovered, like, some biochemical realities that shed this holistic understanding of what's going on, like, you can start to just really refine your perspective by hearing the other side of it. And you're like, oh, that's why you think that, you know?
Right, right, which is great. Hold that thought, because we're going to get into that when we talk about Virginia's question. But, you know, there are issues where bile can cause problems, and it does happen a lot for those who have lost their gallbladder. Because if you've lost your gallbladder but the biliary pathway is still flowing, the liver is still making bile, it still flows. And so now it goes down to the duodenum, but since there's no gallbladder to kind of store it until food comes along, it kind of flows all the time. And so if alkaline bile is flowing through into the intestinal tract while there's not acidic food meeting it, then it can be overly alkaline. It can kind of irritate the intestinal tract. It can cause some other irritation problems down the line. So that can be a problem, but that's usually the only situation that's a little more common where bile is going to flow more than a body would need it and cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
And before we go to Virginia, I just want to clarify for Helen that, you know, the steps that we would take if that were us dealing with that issue is we would look to improve stomach acid and see if that improved the situation. If that improves the situation, then that's a pretty good idea that it was probably a lack of stomach acid that was causing all that trouble.
Cool. Well, not cool for the girl, but cool.
Cool that we said it.
Yeah. All right, Virginia, I'm doing a lot of research online. I'm finding all kinds of information out there from sincere to kooky, and I can't tell how to filter out the nonsense and find the real information. How do y'all tell the difference between good, reliable information and utter crap? Do you look for medical studies? Do you trust only one or two sources? Any advice you could give would be really helpful.
So, Will, you're with us, right?
Yeah.
So this is a tricky topic that I wanted to talk about some, because we've had a lot of things that we've learned as far as how to do this the right way. And we had a lot of struggles with this long ago. You know, it's so easy to just read something and believe it and try to think that that's the way that it is. And so the reality is that you really have to question every single thing that you're reading, because a lot of times the information out there is right for somebody. You know, it's there's a reason that they think it's true. It worked for somebody. So with every piece of information that I look at, I'm always reading it with the question in my mind of, why does this person believe this? Why are they viewing this as if it's true? And a lot of times I know enough to figure out, okay, I can see that because of this mechanism that it would create this result and make them think this is true, even though the reality is it's causing it because of this. And we could probably make a lot of very simple examples that we've talked about a lot, like cholesterol. Why don't we use that example first, Will? Like how people believed one thing because they saw a result going on.
Yeah, I mean, cholesterol is a good example. Like almost every food that's out there that anyone has any opinion of is also a good example.
Right.
Carbonated water and bone density, that kind of thing is an example I want to talk about in a bit. But there's a few things that are big flags that you need to ask yourself when trying to navigate information. One of them is, which is it's law, you have to report conflicting interests if you're going to publish a report. So any scientist that works for a pharmaceutical company or should be also for a nutritional supplement company should also say I have conflict of interest or potential conflict of interest in making this report because it really supports the drug company's product that I work for that drug company. So you have to share the fact that you have this possible financially vested bias that may be influencing your research, not only the data itself you could skew, but you could also just skew your interpretation of the data that you get to be a more favorable result to represent a good sort of showing for the company you work for. So you gotta check and see does the report that you're reading make any claim or any statement or contain any scientist opinion who may be biased because of that kind of thing. So you got to look at that as one factor. And if it does, a lot of times people will totally discount and say, oh, that is not a valid study because of your conflict of interest. Just in a court of law, if you had reason to lie because you also killed the person, your testimony might not be as valid as someone who's in a more objective stance.
You sound about that for some reason. Why do you something you want to tell us?
Right. Yeah. So that's one thing, this whole conflict of interest. But then the other thing is there is also, and this may be not, and that sounds kind of malicious intent sort of thing, and greed could be motivating. But then there's other cases where people are trying to do good science and they do a blind study and they look at what is the effect of this drug for this group of diabetics or people with high cholesterol? And they'll be like, oh, well, for 60% of people, it totally helped. And for the other 40%, it actually made worse. It's that's confusing. Is this drug good or bad? And then it leads you to the question of you need to do you need to take into account bioindividuality. And that, people with really good intentions might miss something that is distinguishing the impact from one drug or supplement or nutrient on a certain set of people versus another set. In George Watson's whole book, In Nutrition for Your Mind, he found a collection of nutrients that would really, really help certain people with mental disorders like schizophrenia or OCD or whatever it was. But that same set of nutrients would make people who are also suffering from the same disease, it would make another group of people way worse. And it was through a lot of research, he was able to distinguish the different metabolic states of different people who are exhibiting similar symptoms. And then he was able to make a much more refined observation of what's really off is the metabolism. So when we give something to someone who's suffering from a mental or emotional disturbance, and we help them fix their metabolism, whether it's running too fast or too slow or not enough at all, then they get healthy. And that's, you can make this more more educated observation that it's not just a drug that does a thing, it's a drug that goes into an individual, and how it impacts that individual makes a lot of difference.
Right. So the examples you just used with George Watson are perfect, because he was finding that these foods or nutrients were quote-unquote fixing schizophrenia, but the reality is that they weren't fixing the condition schizophrenia, they were fixing the person's metabolism so that they could properly supply their body with nutrition all the time instead of spikes and crashes. And then all of a sudden the schizophrenia went away. So when you look at information like this, you have to look at, okay, what is it really doing? You know, this herb or this food or this nutrient is really not the solution for a symptom or a disease. So if someone is telling you that, you can know that that's false, because you got to figure out what's it doing that's helping that condition or disease, and why is it doing so for that person. So you're always looking for, instead of just reading something and taking that as blind faith, you have to read something and say, okay, why do they think that's true, or why would it be true, and for which chemistry or population or metabolism or whatever it is, which one would that be true for?
So do your own research, have your own laboratory, and run your own tests and research so you can know what really works.
Right. Yeah, just run some clinical trials. No big deal.
Cool.
There's people on the street that are bored. They'll do it with you. No, but and another thing to understand here when you're doing your own research is that you're going to find stuff that's wrong. You're going to do stuff that's wrong. Will and I have done and taught things that brought about a specific result that may have been beneficial for that person. But we found later, you know, that, you know what, this might not be the best way to do this. Let's find some other ways to that will not only improve the imbalance, but might not cause other problems down the line that you have to fix.
So they used me as the guinea pig. Right. And I'm completely screwed up.
Right. Ken is all jacked up, but we learned a lot of stuff by making her jacked up.
It's my contribution to the world.
Right.
Like, yeah. And
Sherry,
it's gonna
and Terry's
be
character.
Right. It's going to be the case. Like, that's the nature of good science and good healthcare, is like continual improvement. Like, science is always looking for better explanations. And that's really the nature of a theory. Like, when we have a theory of like how, like how the stars and stuff move, you know, at first we thought like we were the center, and then we're like, we're nowhere near the center. It's like, no, everywhere is the center. And it's like this evolving theory about, like, you know, how matter works and how space works and how like energy is structured. And it's always just a theory that you can never, ever solidly prove. You can disprove if you show things are blatantly false, but you can never for sure prove that your theory is true. You can just make refinements and say, like, with this data, this is the best explanation we got. And good science is going to keep on trying to evolve that theory. So I don't expect that everything that we say today is like, it's like, I hope it's not the best we can do. I hope we can always continue to improve it. So I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at it as an important thing to be on board with people that are doing their best to understand things as best they can. And sometimes people get locked into, like, vested interests, whether it's a company that they have or a product that they make or a procedure that they do, that if they're really stuck to, like, oh, they have to keep doing things that way, that might end up, like, polluting their perspective. And, or, you know, or they may end up lying to, like, try to protect their career or their product or their company or whatever. So try to get people, like, that's one thing I really like about people like Ray Peet, is he doesn't have a product that he's selling. He's just doing science, and he's a tenured professor. So you can't even fire him. Like, you can say whatever he wants, and that creates a lot of freedom for him to have intellectual honesty. And so it's important, and it's also really complicated science stuff that it's not obvious. So when people, I guess one last thing I want to say on this point is, like, just because you read a report that says something is good, it does not mean it's necessarily good.
For you.
Yeah. Or if something, like, speaks in absolutes, you know, like if somebody ever, like, especially, like, you can do this, like, with reviews, you know, it's somewhere in the middle probably. I mean, it's never an absolute about everything. Like you said, things are constantly changing and people are constantly learning new things about the world and our bodies and stuff. So that kind of makes me think, well, that person's just stuck in that thinking and they're not going to change.
Right. And so, when you look at, like, especially Virginia's asking this question for herself, not for, like, what we do, where we're trying to figure things out to help people figure things out. If you're just looking for answers for yourself, the next step is to take a piece of information that you feel like Well, that kind of makes some sense. And you can test it with yourself and watch what your numbers do. When you can watch if you actually bring about a change, now you really know, okay, this may have been appropriate for me, or maybe it wasn't.
Or you can use May Virginia like everybody else does.
I'm the guinea pig. Yeah. We just test things out on Kenna.
Mm-hmm. But,
so just remember too that a lot of times the things that we think are right, you know, look at how long we thought that the world was flat. It was for a really long time that we thought that, and oops, that wasn't even close. So if you can go at your research with the perspective of, okay, look at everything in our universe now and how we view it. The reality is that all of that could exist in some kind of ball of dust under the refrigerator of some really big, huge creature. And we think that we're like what counts, but we're just this little thing in a ball of dust. If you view it from that perspective of everything we understand could be wrong, so keep asking, keep searching, then you'll find some things that will end up making sense for you.
Does that even answer her question?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Virginia. Yeah. We got nothing.
Right. We got nothing. See, even we researched this question too, and we still couldn't figure it out. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So just keep asking.
And you know, I think just to be fair, like for people that are, they're trying to do their best to like research, oh, is this drug good or not? And they're willing to like dig in a little bit. It's important to know that you're not going to be able to make a good judgment as a total novice. Like it's kind of like if you went to someone for legal advice and you just said, hey, can you read this whole contract and tell me if it's like good for me or not? A lawyer may read that and they may be able to say, like, yeah, this is good, or no, it's not. And they can form that opinion because they can understand the whole thing in the context. But because they have training in it, they're able to like understand what all these little bylaws are and if there's any loopholes hidden in there. And you're not going to be able to do that as a total novice when you're trying to read like a scientific report on, say, something like nitric oxide. We had a question this week and someone in the fat loss support group about like, oh, look, this doctor that I really love said nitric oxide is really good. And look, it lowers blood pressure and it increases blood volume. And see, it's good. It like helps prevent these diseases. But then like if you know more about the mechanisms of how it's doing that, you'll realize like it's not producing the good result they're saying it is. It is causing those physiological changes, but it's actually damaging the system overall. The report doesn't show that, but you won't know that and you won't be able to know that unless if you studied like a whole lot. So if you want to like learn these things and be able to interpret body chemistry impacts, like you have to like put in a lot of work to understand the system more comprehensively.
That's exhausting.
Right, but the good news is that you don't have to understand everything.
Just believe Tony and Will.
You don't have to understand everything to bring about improvement with yourself. And of course, Virginia knows that because she's improved a lot of issues already. So just know that it's just a tricky thing. And this is why this is almost all that me and Will do, is we just kind of research these things, and it can become a spider web. But you can start to find some building blocks that you feel very strongly about, and then you can build on from there and keep adding pieces of information.
Baby steps. And if you like learn how the particular systems in your bodies and the organs work and all that kind of stuff and what they kind of run on, and then you can know more and you can make more educated guesses. You know, if you read some article, you say, well, that doesn't make sense because
crap.
This is where, you know, the gallbladder does this.
Yeah, right. That's
a good
point. That
kind of thing.
Cool.
Dang, I'm smart.
All right, we rocked it.
Yeah. Today, all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com.
Audible.com.
Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details. That's where you'll get all your right information. You just go to audible.com and go to Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, and all the right information is
there. That's where they put it all?
That's where they put it all, Virginia.
Right.
All right. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. I'm reading with a lot of pauses today.
Okay with it. I'm fine with them.
Or go to Will Hotty Patati Schmitz, mybodyofknowledge.net, and that's where he has a lot of blogs, articles, exercises, all kinds of cool stuff that you can check out and hopefully give you shed some light. on all these questions.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Bye, Will.